Venerable religious and my dear friends in Christ, we have today a rather marvelous feast. In fact, a feast that outranks the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, the anniversary of the dedication of the Archbasilica of Our Savior. This is the first, the most important church in the world. It was gifted to the church by the Emperor Constantine. It had previously been a palace, in fact, the palace belonging to the wife of Constantine, but it was gifted to Pope St. Sylvester, who immediately renovated the palace to be a magnificent church and was dedicated by that saintly pontiff, Pope St. Sylvester. Later on, it was given a secondary title, St. John Lateran, because of the baptistry, which is connected to the church, which was named after St. John the Baptist. So St. John the Baptist was given a patronage over this church, and so today it is very often called the Church of St. John Lateran, after St. John the Baptist. I find it very interesting that this feast, the dedication of the greatest church in the world, falls on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, where we read of our Lord saying some very impactful words. His enemies are trying to trip him up in his words, to make him say something that is scandalous or inappropriate that they could use against him. And so they bring up the topic of Caesar. They ask him, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Because they realized if he said no, well, this was going to be a great problem with the Romans. And they could accuse him of sedition against the government. If he said yes, isn't this like the pagans who give tribute to false gods? Of course, Caesar considered himself to be a god. So they really thought that they had him. But our Lord gives us a lesson that is of the utmost importance throughout all of time, but I feel particularly in our time. He says, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. That is to say, there must necessarily coexist the things of the world and the things that are for eternity. It will not always be the case. In fact, throughout history, much less often is it the case that God's law protected, explained by Holy Mother Church, would be the ruling law in society. Only in Catholic monarchies would this really be the case. More often throughout history and in our own time, there is what we call the separation of church and state. Which for some, I believe, is a difficult topic. Is this correct? Ought the church be separate from the state? The simple answer is no. In fact, the church should have rights over society because God's law is the highest law. If it is God's law that informs civil law, then you will have just and good laws. Christ did not only give to his church the power to teach, but he gave to his church the power to govern. Now, it is true the church is not meant to be a civil society. Our Lord said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." The purpose of the church is to bring souls to heaven. But again, these rites of teaching and governing give the church a certain right over society itself. But we find ourselves in a very difficult situation who do not have a government that is set up by the church, such as a Catholic monarchy. In fact, we find very often that leaders of governments may be very corrupt. They do not have God's interests in mind. And so what are we to do? How are we to interpret our Lord's words, "Render therefore to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what is God's"? This coexistence of the things of Caesar and the things of God remind me of another pair that, of course, must coexist, but need a proper interpretation, and that is none other than charity and truth. We know that charity is the foundation of the Gospels. We must have charity above all else. But it seems so often there may be a conflict between being charitable, being kind, patient, humble, and defending the truth. Sometimes we need to really stand up and not care if there is conflict when it comes to the defense of what is true. Because our Lord said that he came to bring a sword, after all. How to reconcile these two things? Sometimes it is difficult. People will be offended. And I believe that these two things have come into a conflict in our time that is, the confusion is tragic. Because so often, charity is taken completely out of context. It is used almost as a cudgel sometimes. How often do we hear about the word tolerance, that we must tolerate? Isn't this out of a motive of charity? To be tolerant of others and their decisions, even of their sins. We see this most tragically in that other church that claims to be Catholic. It gives itself the name Catholic. Since the Second Vatican Council, these false popes have made this almost the cornerstone of their false religion, that we must tolerate all others. And this, of course, turns into all religions lead to God. If all religions are good, more or less praiseworthy, then leave them be. They're making their way to God in their way, and we shouldn't judge. We have to tolerate. Very interesting quotation. This is from the great G.K. Chesterton, who said, "Toleration is the virtue for a man without convictions." Toleration is the virtue for a man without convictions. What a horrendous crime for this false church claiming to be Catholic to say you don't have to be a Catholic. Then for what purpose did God become man, die for our sins, rise from the dead, and found a church? Why did he say to St. Peter, "I will give to thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and upon this rock I will build my church"? It is clear. Toleration in this sense cannot be tolerated. Truth must be defended. And perhaps this is one of the great confusions about charity and truth, is the perception that charity must be weak, that charity must always take the back seat or not say the difficult thing. Really, true charity would tell us that we need to help convert. We need to bring people, by whatever means we can, to the knowledge of the truth. This is true charity. It is not some lukewarm, standing by, not judging, not tolerating, or rather tolerating, sometimes the truth hurts, and we must, in true charity, speak it. However, truth can also be out of place. Rather, the truth never changes. We must always seek the truth. But there is an old saying, "Speak the truth always, but not at all times." There has to be a true and proper marriage of these two concepts of charity and truth. I remember a very silly, I think it was a commercial maybe, that someone showed me one time. And it started with a query: was Honest Abe Lincoln really that honest? And it showed this old style video of Abe Lincoln's wife coming into the room, asking her husband, "Does this dress make me look fat?" And Abe Lincoln hesitated. Cut scene. He was going to be in trouble. Again, just to illustrate, do we need to attack the person who does not have the truth? Do we use it as some sort of weapon to make ourselves feel superior? It's true that there's a lot of untruth out there. But is it proper and is it going to produce fruit to go straight up to someone and say, by the way, you are completely and totally wrong about almost everything? Invariably, this is not going to help. And so we have to be careful with our application of the truth, because after all, we are all human beings who have feelings. So again, this proper marriage of charity and truth, they have to be both in their proper places and applied properly. Much the same as that other conundrum that we spoke about, how to render to Caesar, what is Caesar, and God, what is God's? If you look back in history, as much as we can learn of the relationship between Pope St. Sylvester I and the Emperor Constantine, there is really a beautiful understanding, it seems, though there were faults, of course, with Constantine. He deferred his baptism, as legend tells it, until his death. There were still facets of that pagan Roman culture which he would not give up. And of course, Pope St. Sylvester knew this. But here was a convert, Constantine, who saw the importance of putting the church first. One of his first acts after signing the Edict of Milan, ending persecution, was to gift this magnificent basilica to the church. It is related at the Council of Nicaea that this was in great part called by Constantine, and there was a funny situation when the first session was called. The bishops were all in attendance. Constantine came into the room. He found his place in the assembly, and everyone refused to sit. The bishops, giving proper reverence to their emperor, and the emperor realizing that he was but an earthly monarch. These bishops were princes of the church, and he would not sit in order to show them respect. And so Constantine jokingly said, well, then let's sit at the same time. It is difficult to not become perhaps angered at what happens politically, the things that we see in the news. But let us remember, we owe a certain fealty to even an unjust government, as we recently read. Pilate, who is not a just man. He condemned innocents to death. And our Lord said that even his authority was from heaven. So we owe a certain loyalty. But most of all, out of charity, that greatest of all virtues, we ought to pray for our leaders. Pray for those people the more unjust and more unworthy they are, the more they need prayers. We can perhaps affect a difference by our prayers and by our sacrifices. But first, we must give to God what is His. That is, not make this the focus of our life. That is to say, we shouldn't think of financial issues, political issues, as an end of any kind. Our end is heaven. And so first we must seek Almighty God. Let us try to find that happy balance. We must be in this world, but not of this world. We must practice charity above all, but properly, not letting that false sense of charity, an ugly kind of toleration, make us compromise with our faith, stand up for truth, but use it properly in charity. In all things, let us be balanced. And if we have as our one and only motive the greater honor and glory of God, then we will not go astray. Let us pray for the intercession of Pope Saint Sylvester, that we find these balances, that we do everything in our power to procure the glory of God and His church. We do everything we can to love Him with our whole heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.